Good morning and welcome to worship at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We are grateful for your presence, all of you who are with us in person, and those of you who are joining us online. I am so excited because today is the first day of September, and not only does that mean that fall is coming, but we have a lot of fun things happening here at the church during the month of September. So this week, choir starts back up, which means that they'll be doing our offertories again. Next Sunday is Rally Day, and we have some fun things planned for that. So first of all, I've been told that you all used to have Sunday school with Bible trivia on Rally Day, and so we're going to bring that tradition back, and I've got some trivia games for us. So we're going to meet at 9. I know that's a little bit early for Sunday school, but I want us to have enough time to have donuts and coffee and trivia and give me enough time to still get ready for worship. So if you will join us at 9 next Sunday, I think we'll have a good time. And then after worship, the fellowship committee is hosting a luncheon where they're asking everybody to bring sandwiches to share. So we'll have sandwiches, I think there'll be some chips, and the best part, there'll be an ice cream bar after for dessert. If anyone eats dessert first, I don't blame you because that's what I might do. And then the other thing I want to lift up is on Saturday, September 28th, we're going to have worship training. Folks have been asking for this for a while, and so we're going to do it. It's going to start at 10 o'clock on that morning, and we're going to walk through some acolyte training, maybe train some folks to be crucifers so we can process in and out with the cross. We'll train the altar guild folks and assisting ministers. And I know some of you have been doing all of these things for a while, but it never hurts to brush up on how we do it and why we do it. So I hope you'll join us that day. A note about the offertory today, it's going to be a congregational hymn. We're all going to sing What a Friend We Have in Jesus together. So when it's time for that, you'll know that you are invited to sing with us. The basket offering for the month of September is the Youth Fund. We take up this offering on the first and third Sundays after our regular offering. And this fund is what helps me to love on and build relationships with our youth. I use this fund to take kids out for a meal or for ice cream so that I can spend time with them. We use this fund for going to camp and other activities. And so if you would be willing to give to this fund, it would help me to continue to work with our youth and build relationships with them. We have two birthdays this week. Jana Waitman. Oh, no Jana today. Jana Waitman and Amy Kepley. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And Gyla, if you'll come sit next to Judy for this next part, I want to make sure you can see what's going on. For some time, I don't know if you all have noticed, but our altar candles have been quite discolored, and the brass toppers have been so tarnished that they haven't been able to be polished. And so we have new altar candles that have been purchased by Jordan Kepley in honor of her mom and dad. And so we're going to dedicate those this morning. And Brantley, you're going to come help me? Okay. Today, we dedicate these new altar candles to the glory of God. Just as altar candles are lit during worship to be a sign of Christ for us, Jordan Kepley has given these in honor of her parents, who have been a sign of Christ in her life. Sisters and brothers, today we give thanks to God and we seek God's blessing as we set apart these altar candles to the glory of God. And Brantley is going to lay hands on the other candle as we pray. We give you thanks, O God, creator of the universe, for you have enriched our lives with every good and perfect gift. You have commanded us to show your splendor to our children, and you have invited us to praise you with lives of love, justice, and joy. Send your blessing on these altar candles, which we set apart today. May they be to us a sign of Christ, the light of the world, the light no darkness can overcome. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. Stand as you are able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the God of manna, the God of miracles, the God of mercy. Amen. Drawn to Christ and seeking God's peace, let us confess our sin. God, our provider, help us. It is hard to believe there is enough to share. We question your ways when they differ from the ways of the world in which we live. We turn to our own understanding rather than trusting in you. We take offense at your teachings and your ways. Turn us again to you. Where else can we turn? Share with us the words of eternal life and feed us for life in the world. Amen. Beloved people of God, in Jesus, the manna from heaven, you are fed and nourished. By Jesus, the worker of miracles, there is always more than enough. And through Jesus, the bread of life, you are shown God's mercy. You are forgiven and loved into abundant life. Amen. the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, our strength, without you we are weak and wayward creatures. Protect us from all dangers that attack us from the outside, and cleanse us from all evil that arises from within ourselves, that we may be preserved through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. Good morning, Cameron. Good morning, Kate. Do you guys want to sit on this side? Brantley, you going to stay there or you want to come sit by me? You going to sit over there? That's okay. You sit wherever you're comfortable. So last week, we blessed our backpacks and we prayed a prayer for our upcoming school year. And you two have already been in school for 2 weeks, right? And Brantley's been in school for 1 week. And your mom sent me a video of you doing your memory verse. Do you remember your memory verse? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:1, is that it? Well, you did a beautiful job in that video. And I thought we could talk about God being a creator and what that means for us, because we are made in the image of God, and God is very creative, and God created us to be creative just like God. And so there are all kinds of ways that we can create, right? One of my favorite is coloring. Do you like to draw pictures? Do you like to help cook? Cooking is one way that we can be creative. Do you like to play with Play-Doh or clay? Are you so excited Nana's up here? Are you so excited? Hi, Nana. So there are all kinds of ways that we can be creative. And sometimes when we are creative, I think it also is silliness, because we're creating joy and we're creating laughter. And so I just thought it'd be fun to think about this morning that God is a very, very wonderful creator, but we get to be creators too, because we're made in the image of God. And so when you're drawing or coloring or doing a Play-Doh creation, you're being a creator just like God. Will you pray with me? Good morning, God. Thank you for today. Thank you for our church. And thank you for each other. You created the whole world. And we get to be creators just like you. Help us to use our imaginations to bring honor to you. We love you, God. Amen. Well, thank you for coming up this morning. You may now go to Children's Church with Kelly. Is Kelly here?
No.
All right. Well, there's no Children's Church today, I guess. But maybe you can sit in the pews with Mom and Dad, or you can go play in the nursery if you'd like. Go see what Mom and Dad want you to do, okay?
The first lesson is from Acts 2. So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to John, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should also love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and Mother and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we are continuing our summer sermon series on Holy Communion this morning. And you might be thinking, well, wait, Labor Day is kind of the end of summer, isn't it? Shouldn't you be finishing the sermon series today? Well, we're close. I promise that we are close. But the last official day of summer is September 21st, and so I hope to finish our series on the Sunday before the 21st. So the next couple of weeks are going to look like this. Next week, we're going to look at what it means that Jesus instituted his Holy Supper in the midst of the Passover meal, and how that shaped the Lord's Supper in the early church, especially the first 100 years or so after Jesus was raised from the dead. And then on the 15th, we're going to try to wrap up all we've learned together this summer and bring it all together. And then I've had an idea, like I often have many ideas, but we're going to try to put feet on this one. The last two Sundays of September, we're going to have service like usual, but it will be different in that while the service is taking place, we're going to have kind of like a director's commentary, where throughout the service, I'm going to give more of an in-depth explanation on why we do what we do in the service, and why we do it in that way, and why we do it in that order, etc. So it'll be kind of like watching a show or a movie with a director's commentary on. And right now, I'm calling it an instructive Eucharist in my brain. So stay tuned for those Sundays. Before today, I thought we would look at some of the current practices that we have here at Holly Grove Lutheran Church for Holy Communion, which leads us back to our scripture lessons for this morning, John 13 and Acts 2. We usually read John 13 on Maundy Thursday, right? We're in the midst of instituting the Lord's Supper. Jesus gets up from the table, and he takes the position and puts on the garb of a slave, and he washes his disciples' feet. He then tells them, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Interwoven and in an inseparable way with this meal is the call to love others as Jesus has loved us. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. In fact, I don't know if you know this or if you've heard this, but in the earliest years of the church, non-believers used to describe Christian believers by saying, behold how they love one another. The love that they had for one another was so different and so distinct from the way that relationships worked everywhere else in the world. Behold how they love one another. And I think this Acts passage is a beautiful example of how those earliest Christians lived that love out. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all, as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. They broke bread and they ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. I think this verse helps us understand why some of our current practices here for communion are what they are. We break bread, which is Luke's way of saying that we partake in the Lord's Supper, and we have the goodwill of all people. Much of what we do here as it relates to communion is because we understand that this is Jesus' table. It's not our table. We aren't the hosts. We are the guests. And as such, as this congregation, we welcome others to this table as Jesus would. And we care for others at this table as Jesus would as well. I mean, think about it. If you had someone over to your home for a meal, whether they were family or a guest, you would do all that you could do to make the meal comfortable for them. If they were allergic to strawberries or peanuts or dairy, you would plan a meal without those foods. As I'm looking around, I've been invited into the home of so many of you, and you have offered me foods that were gluten-free and vegetarian. At this table, Jesus is the host, and we want to do what Jesus would do in making this meal accessible to all, so that everyone is included. Because we don't want the way that we have Holy Communion to prevent anyone's ability to feast on God's grace and mercy in the bread and wine. But sometimes we, and not just us here at Holly Grove, but the whole church, sometimes we get more focused on how we do something, and that becomes more important than why we do something. Sometimes we place more preference, more value on our own preferences than the reasons why we do what we do. And so what are some of the things that we do here to make this table accessible to all and to not hinder anyone from partaking in this meal? Well, one of the first things that we do is we offer gluten-free wafers and we offer grape juice in addition to the bread and wine. We have a member of our congregation who has celiac disease, where she absolutely cannot eat gluten. And then there are others like myself who have a gluten allergy or intolerance. And I know people think, well, just have a little bit, it'll be fine. But if I literally have just a little bit, I get very, very sick. In fact, I'll tell you a story. My home congregation up in Winston, Augsburg Lutheran Church, for many years they had regular wafers and then a common cup where folks would intinct their wafer. And then they had a little Pyx, P-Y-X, that held gluten-free wafers. And as Lutherans, we believe that the full presence of Jesus is in one element, right? So the full presence of Jesus is in the bread, the full presence of Jesus is in the wine. You don't get half of the presence of Jesus in the bread and half the wine and put it together for a whole presence. That's not what we believe. And so even though I knew I was getting the full presence of Jesus just in the wafer, I so badly wanted wine. I wanted the bread and wine because I felt different. And I knew what the wine meant at this table. And so there were two times that I wanted the wine so badly that I dipped my gluten-free wafer in the cup that others had dipped the regular wafer in. And both of those times, I got so very sick that I had to leave church early and was sick for the rest of the day because that wine in the common cup had been cross-contaminated with other gluten things. And I know some people think, well, that's crazy. How could that happen? Well, sometimes the way that things happen for our bodies aren't explainable. We just have to honor them. And so the rest of my time at Augsburg, I just continued to have the gluten-free wafer. But I promised myself that when I was a pastor, at whatever church I served, that at this table we would have every element for every person, no matter what their body said to them, and no matter what their restrictions were. So long before I was here, you all had grape juice and wine, but now we have gluten-free wafers. And the reason that we have the communion trays and the little individual cups instead of the common cup is for a couple of reasons. One, there are a lot of people who aren't comfortable with the common cup, because if other people who are sick dip it in there, you could get the common cold, you could get the flu, you could get something else. It's a really easy way to spread germs. And there are folks in our congregation who have really weak immune systems, and so it's a way to protect them. But it's also so that every person can have wine or juice, whether they take the regular bread or the gluten-free wafer. Because if you think about it logistically, a communion assistant can't hold a cup of juice and a cup of wine for gluten and another cup of wine for no gluten, because they don't have three hands. And so logistically, there's just no way to do it except for holding that tray. And so that's why we have the tray, and that's why we have gluten-free wafers, and that's why we have juice, so that everybody who comes to the Lord's table is not hindered because there isn't an element that will harm their body. How about the way we come for communion? I've had some folks say that in the past, it was the practice here to come to the altar and to surround yourselves at the altar. And although the symbolism for that is really, really lovely, logistically, these stairs are getting harder and harder for some folks in our congregation. And so to make sure that nobody falls or that nobody has difficulty getting to the table, we come to the font. We come to the font so that others just have to walk on the flat aisle here, so that it's accessible to everyone. And somebody says, well, I can't go forward to the altar because it's too hard to get up the steps, or I'm afraid that I might fall. And so we gather at the font to receive the elements for communion, the same place that God adopts us as God's children, the same place that God names us and claims us, so that as we're partaking in the holy meal that for us is the love and forgiveness of God, we can remember whose we are and who we are. And then for those for whom it's too difficult to come forward to the font, we take communion to them so that they don't feel left out and they can have the elements as well. Well, why don't we have communion in the pews anymore, where the ushers take the elements and pass them up and down? Again, it's about accessibility for the elements for all people. Logistically, it's too hard to pass bread and wafers for gluten-free things. How do you do that without cross-contaminating the gluten-free wafers? It would be pretty challenging. And think about the trays for communion. They're a little bit heavy. We have to be careful we don't spill. And that's not easy for everybody as we pass the trays up and down. It's the same reason that we have a full bulletin now, is because for some of our members, it was getting too hard for their wrists and their strength to hold the hymnals throughout most of the service, whether it was for the liturgy and service music or for the hymns. And so we have the full bulletins so that it's accessible for them to participate fully in the service without causing discomfort for their wrists and without making it more challenging for them. And an added bonus of the full bulletin is that for our members with memory issues who have trouble following the service as it is, they're not having to struggle finding the hymns and the service pieces in the hymnal. It's all right there in order. The last thing I'll touch on this morning, and by the way, if you have any more questions about why we do what we do, I'd love for you to ask me. You all know I love communion, I love the sacraments, and I love asking why. It's very important to me that we know why we do something. It adds so much more meaning to it. And so several folks have said, why do we now let little children take communion? When I was growing up, we had to be confirmed in order to have communion. We received our first communion when we were confirmed, or we had to go through a first communion class before we could be confirmed. It's a fairly long answer, but if I were to shorten it, it's mainly because the practice of having children take communion when they were confirmed or gone through a class is just the tradition or custom of that place. It's not based in scripture, it's not based in any theological way, it's just the custom and practice that that church had or that that pastor learned growing up or in seminary. In fact, there's no command from Jesus at all as to an age requirement for the meal. And confessionally, as Lutherans, in our confessions, in our big old Book of Concord, there are several places that talk about how anyone who is baptized can receive communion. And so if you think about that, Kate and Cameron were baptized as infants. Brantley, you were baptized when you were a little boy, right? Yeah, we just baptized Trevor not too long ago. And so they're baptized. What is preventing them from receiving communion? Well, the truth is nothing. Nothing is preventing them. In fact, historical studies of the early church, as we're learning more and more, in the early church, all baptized people received communion, including infants. And my internship pastor, he had a special spoon that I wish I could remember the name of. That is the liturgical spoon that you feed infants with communion with. You put a little crumb of the bread and a little drop of the wine, and you feed infants communion. That's the practice of the early church. But like so many other things over time, it morphed and there were other reasons for doing other things. But think about it in this way. There is no criteria for coming to the Lord's table. And the criteria of understanding is not one of those either. We don't wait until children understand what communion is or why they do it. Because the truth is, if we accepted or allowed people to come to the table based on their understanding, all of us our whole lives long are growing in our understanding of this meal. And furthermore, this meal has nothing to do with what we do. This meal has everything to do with what God does. Because the fact is that there is nothing we can do or say or not do or not say to cause God to love us any more or any less. The work of communion in receiving the bread and wine is God's work. It's not dependent upon us. It's not dependent on our cognition. It's God's work. And when we're baptized, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. And when children come forward and they're reaching out for the bread and wine, I believe that is the Holy Spirit at work in them, drawing them to the table. Because on some level, children get it maybe more than we do, that there is something special about this bread. And the Holy Spirit draws them to receive that. And if you could see the smiles and the joy that the children have when they receive the bread and the wine, you would get it. I think the choir can sometimes see the joy on their faces, that this is something special. And the children of our congregation are never not going to remember a time when they didn't have communion. Communion is going to be part of who they are and what they've always done. And they will grow into their understanding of communion by doing it, by receiving it. So all are welcomed at this table, all of the baptized, even the littlest and youngest members of our table. So these are just a few of the ways that we show others how much we love them by making the table more open and accessible, by not hindering anyone in any way from coming to receive the forgiveness and the grace and the love of God in the bread and wine. Sometimes that means putting how we want something to be done aside so that we can think more about the why and be true to the intentions that Jesus had for this meal, that all people would come to feast on him so that we can become what we eat, the bread of Christ for our neighbor. So those early Christians would say, behold how they love one another. There was something so radically different about the way that Christians loved each other. And it got me to thinking about that song that was written in the 60s, and they'll know we're Christians by our love. And so I rewrote the lyrics to one of the verses very simply. We will eat with each other, we will eat side by side. We will eat with each other, we will eat side by side. And we'll guard each one's dignity and save each one's pride. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. Brothers and sisters, may it be so. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. One in the communion of saints and in the power of the Holy Spirit, we join our voices in prayer. God of every generation, give the church a sense of purpose and belonging. Sustain and build up leaders and lay people as we accompany one another in our life with Christ. Merciful God, receive our prayer. God of creation, you name humans as co-creators with you. Where the earth cries out in pain, bring wholeness. Guide governments and industries that environmental laws and practices seek to heal and not harm. Bring relief and justice to people and places suffering from climate catastrophe. Merciful God,
receive our prayers.
Sovereign God, we pray for local communities of every kind, rural and urban, established and new. Lead those in authority to seek the good of all through their words and actions, and to mentor others in honest and generous ways. Merciful God,
receive our prayers.
Healing God, you draw near to all who are hurting. Be with all who desire relief from chronic and acute illnesses, cancer, and post-traumatic stress disorder. Strengthen health co-workers, therapists, and caregivers. Tend to those who are close in our hearts, especially Bill, Paul and Carolina, Bobby and Jana, Scott, John, Mary, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
On this Labor Day weekend, we remember and give thanks for all who have fought for workers' rights around the world. Continue to improve working conditions and establish fair wages so that all people may thrive. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Comforting God, console us as we mourn our departed, especially the family of Amy Hedrick Tysinger. We hold fast to the promise that death has been defeated by our Savior, Jesus Christ. Merciful God,
receive
our prayers. Holy God, holy and merciful, into your outstretched arms we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
I invite you to move around a little bit and share the peace of Christ with one another. Peace be with you. I love you. Peace be with you, Judy.
Thank you.
With you.
And also
lift up your hearts.
Lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and grace.
Blessed are you, loving and faithful God. All your works from the heights to the depths echo your praise. In the very beginning, your word summoned light, darkness withdrew, and creation dawned. When the times at last had ripened and the earth had grown in full abundance, your word created humankind in your image to steward all creation. You gave us breath and speech that all might find a voice to sing your praise and to celebrate the creation you called good. And so with the entire communion of saints, with angels and the whole creation, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Are you gracious and merciful God? Before our beginnings, you have always been the three in one being who was and is to come. From before time, you have been dreaming us up, imagining a world forming us into creatures who might come to love you in return. By your breath and with your hands, you made us and have written us into the long and unending story of your love. Around a table with the ones you called to carry on your story, you, Jesus Christ, took bread, gave thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to your disciples, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Send your Holy Spirit upon this bread and upon us, we pray. Take, bless, break, and give us that we might be your body in the world. After the meal ended, you, Jesus, took the cup of wine. Again, you gave thanks and praise and gave the cup to your disciples, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Send your Holy Spirit upon this cup and upon us, we pray. Take, bless, pour, and give us, that we might be your life flowing for the world. Lord, unite us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Christ has set the table more than enough for all. Come.
Thank you.
for the table blessing. The body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let's pray together. Gracious God, in this meal you have drawn us to your heart and nourished us at your table. By your Holy Spirit, enliven us to be your body in the world, that we may show Christ's love to all people. Amen.
The blessing of God, who provides for us, who feeds us, and who journeys with us, be upon you now and forever. Amen.
Let us say our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Peace, you are body of Christ.
Thanks be to God.